You are listening to Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.
Hello, Koinonia Church. We're continuing our series today called Preppers, Are You Ready? And in this series, the question that we're asking is this: when it all falls apart, what will you have stashed in your spiritual bug out bag? See, preppers, they prepare to bug out when things go south. We're really prepping to stay right here, and the question is not really, it's not about how much water we have or how much toilet paper we have. It's about what we have spiritually in ourselves, what we have stored up, and how we can prepare ourselves for a moment that's very challenging. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but things are interesting in our world these days, and there's a lot of noise that's going on. There's a lot of things that are happening. There's a lot of groaning and a lot of shaking, and as believers, as followers of Christ, it is so incredibly critical for us to be prepared and to know how to walk in this hour. Now, in the book of Jude, which is our text for this series, what we have done is we have talked about so far the prepper's attitude. We have to have an attitude of preparation. We have to have an attitude that says, I know who I am. I have the right perspective of who I am in Christ and how I am to approach my life and my usefulness in this world. Well, we talked last week, Pastor Candace actually did, about the prepper's handbook and using the Word of God as our main source and resource for how to walk in this life. And if we don't get into that Word, and if we don't feed on it, and if we don't receive from it, then we're missing a huge and important amount of information that we need in order to be able to be successful in this life. Now, this week, what we're going to talk about is the prepper's routine. So we're going to talk about your daily routine. And it's fascinating because Jude gives us some incredible insights for how every day of our life, if we build a routine, that we can strengthen ourselves and become stronger and stronger rather than weaker and weaker. When I was 16, I worked for my grandpa one summer. He had a truck yard, a trucking business. And it was a great summer in a lot of ways. I learned a lot by spending time with grandpa that year. And one of the things I noticed and later asked him about was every morning when we showed up at the yard and every evening when we left, he would take time to slowly drive around the property and just look. And he would just, this was the same kind of routine that he'd do every day, the same path that he would go on. And he would just go and look, and he'd look at the shop, or he'd look at the trucks, he'd look at this and that. And, you know, I'm just thinking, well, why in the world would you need to do this, Grandpa? And I asked him, and he said, you know, you don't see things unless you look. And so he just made it a part of his routine to daily look and to take time. And then he would notice things. And I saw that happen a couple of times where he noticed some things that he didn't like, the way things were done by his employees, or he noticed some things that needed to be corrected, and he took care of them. But we don't see things unless we notice them, unless we take time to do that. And building routines into our life is so important because it's not just about doing it once or even twice or three times. It's that daily habitual return to those things that are important for us that really make a difference in our lives. Now, our text has been the book of Jude, and we've been looking at a number of the different ways that Jude talks to us about how we're to live prepared for what is to come. And today our text is verses 20 and 21. And he simply says this: but you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Now, in a few moments, I'm going to talk to you from these two verses, two short verses, the things I believe that Jude has given us, the insights into the routine that we need to have in our daily life. And I want to encourage you to take notes today. There's something about writing things down that helps us remember. If you're watching live on a weekend, you can find those notes under the Events tab on the Bible app, but you can also find them on our Church Online platform. And that way you can have the verses right there in front of you. But if not, just grab a piece of paper, grab a pen, write down Jude, those two verses, 20 and 21, and then I'm going to give you these four very straightforward, very simple, they're not simplistic, but very simple parts of the routine that Jude has given to us. Now, in these verses, what he does is he describes a routine. It's a lifestyle for us as believers, and it's critical for us to get this because it is the things that we do every day that builds our life. The things that we do every day result in the kind of people that we are becoming. And so as believers and followers of Christ, we have to be doing the right things. We have to be building a routine that is surrounded around and focused on building our inner man. And if you're prepping in the natural, right, you know that you first have to sustain yourself when things go down, right? When things are bad, you're going to have to do the things, the routine, in order to make sure that you can actually survive. And we know that we have the handbook. I just mentioned a moment ago, right? That we have the handbook of God's Word that gives us all the information that we need, but now we have to actually do it. And that's what the routine is about. The routine is actually what we're going to do every day in order to make a difference in our life. Now, what are we going to do in the natural of, again, if we can't go to a restaurant and we can't have a meal made for us? Well, it means we have to make it at home, right? So we have to go and get the groceries. We have to have all the ingredients. We have to put it together. We have to cook it. That's why I like instant meals, because I don't like to do all of that stuff. I'm not very good at it, put it in the microwave. But even a microwave meal, you have to prepare it, and then you have to put it on a plate, and then you have to eat it, right? And that is part of a process that has to be done in order to get sustenance, the nutrition that we need in our life. And this routine that we're talking about today is about a process for nourishing your soul, for becoming a stronger follower of Jesus, so that in those times of weakness, you'll have something to rely on. So what are you going to do when you can't get to a church building for whatever reason to get fed spiritually? Right? What are you going to do if your internet goes out and you can't watch your favorite preacher? What are you going to do when it all hits the fan, right? And in your life, things don't make sense. And maybe it's you by yourself, or maybe it's you have a family and your family is looking to you to help them. What's inside of you? What are you going to do in those moments? That is what we're talking about. That's what Jude is preparing us for, so that we have something to reach into and draw out that is of value. So these are the things that we need to do. There's four. Really, it's three, but I'm going to put them break them into 4 points here that we need to do every day, all the time, without thinking. They're not just nice ideas. This is stuff that makes the difference, right? This is not just a nice devotional I'm going to give you about how you can be nice to the person that cuts you off in traffic. This is really life or death stuff spiritually for us. And many of us, I just want to be honest with you, many of us, we're not adults spiritually. We should be, but we're not. And the truth is, all of us, we start out at the beginning. We start out like baby birds, right? Start out. And baby birds have to be fed. But there comes a day when baby birds have to fly out of the nest and they have to go hunt their own worms. And that's what Jude is talking about. You and I have to know how to feed ourselves, how to sustain ourselves every day. So this is what he says from those four verses. Very simple. He says these four things. Build yourselves up in your most holy faith. That's number one. Pray in the Holy Spirit. That's number two. Keep yourself in God's love. Number three. And then wait for the grace it's going to bring you into eternal life. Now, we're going to look at each one of those individually. Let's look, first of all, at building yourself up. He says, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Now, Jude here is not talking about building up your self-esteem. He's not talking about making yourself just feel better about yourself. This is not a positive self-talk thing. He's talking about building up our inner man, that is, that our inner spiritual soul, that reality that exists inside of us, that spiritual seed that was planted in us when we received faith in Jesus Christ. He says, hey, if you come to know me, I'll give you water, the water of living light, water of life that will never leave you thirsty again. And that river has to be fed. It has to be allowed to flow inside of us. And so it's that inner man experience, that inner man a nourishment that we're focused on here when he says, build yourself up. Now, I think it's interesting. He says, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. So in other words, your faith, that is your trust in Christ, your walk with Jesus, your relationship with him, is something that's holy, and it's something that has to be treated like it's holy. Now, something that's holy is something that has to be kept and protected, right? You have to make sure that you're not tarnishing it, that you're not making it dirty, that you're not dragging it through the mud. Something that's holy is something that's precious to you, and your precious stuff, you keep it guarded, you keep it safe, you keep it clean. And the truth is that you and I, as followers of Christ, what we have inside of ourselves is a holy faith that has to be protected. And I know that all we have to do in order to make our faith unholy is simply to fail to care for our faith. All we have to do to make our faith dirty or allow it to go through the mud is simply just to kind of go with the flow and allow it to be dragged into a place that takes what was formerly holy and precious and beautiful and tarnishes it and leaves it wanting because we have forgotten to care for ourselves. So the question is, we have to feed ourselves. What are you feeding yourself? You can either build yourself up, as Jude says, or you can tear yourself down. And right now is a season and a time that we have to build ourselves. We have to actually make sure that we're planting into our soul something of value, because everything that's offered by the world right now is seeking to tear us down. Everything that's offered by the world is seeking to divide and to confuse and to bring fear and to bring bitterness and to bring all confusion, all of those types of things. And what we have to do is say, no, I'm not going to listen to those things. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to feed on spiritual food that results in me being stronger instead of weaker. Titus 2:12 says it in this way. He says, say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and instead live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. See, every time we're going to make a decision to build ourselves up, it means we're going to have to resist and push against all those forces that are going to seek to do just the opposite. They're going to seek to steal from us that nourishment and that life that we have. So building ourselves up means that we have to begin to speak into ourselves that which is valuable, the Word of God, right? When we get the Word of God into us, we read it, we hear it, we think about it, we meditate on it. It builds us up. We have to prophesy to ourselves. Prophesy to yourself. What's prophecy? Prophecy is simply speaking the Word of God. And sometimes you have to speak the Word of God to yourself, right? Sometimes we can read the Word of God and go, I don't know. Is that for me? Is it not for me? And maybe that's for somebody else. I don't know what that means. Well, guys, it's time for us to get out of that mode and get into the mode of now beginning to speak that back into ourselves. Prophesy to ourselves. No, as a matter of fact, you are a child of God. As a matter of fact, you do have all that is needed. Why? Because that's what the scripture says. I'm the head, I'm not the tail. He has put me in a place of favor. There's great things that he's going to do for me. All of the resources of heaven are available to me. See, we have to not just wait for somebody else to speak that into us. We have to begin to speak it into ourselves. All right, so the second thing that we need to do is we need to pray in the Holy Spirit. So Jude says this. He says, build yourselves up in your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. It's actually a part two of the building yourselves up. And the question for us is, well, what does it mean when he says praying in the Holy Spirit? Now, if you come from a background like I do, which is a charismatic background, the teaching that many of us have received is that when Jude says praying in the Holy Spirit, he's talking about praying in tongues. You might not be familiar with that, but praying in tongues and speaking in tongues is actually a spiritual gift that is available to believers. And then the Apostle Paul speaks about the spiritual gifts. These are gifts that come from the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. And I tell you, if you're not familiar with the spiritual gifts, you want to read those three chapters and soak in them and just read them over and over again, and because they're an incredible teaching on all of the gifts of the Spirit. But one in particular is praying in tongues. And we call it sometimes a spiritual language or praying in the Spirit. And it's a language that's given to the believer that we don't understand with our natural mind, right? We speak it, but we don't understand it with our natural mind. But we know we're praying the perfect will of the Father when we pray in tongues. And that's why it's wonderful. It's why we want to always exercise that gift if we have it, because we know we're praying in collaboration and cooperation with Jesus. Talking about praying in the Holy Spirit, that's certainly one of the meanings, is actually speaking in your spiritual language, but it's not the full meaning. And it's broader than that. In the New Living Translation, that phrase praying in the Holy Spirit is translated pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, right? Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. The common English version says, as the Holy Spirit helps you to pray. So you see here, it's not just speaking in tongues. What we're talking about here is something larger than that. It's the kind of prayer that is led by and under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And you don't have to speak in tongues. You don't have to have the gift to speak in tongues in order to pray in the Holy Spirit in that way. What it means is you're praying in cooperation and coordination with Him. It's not just praying what we want. It's not just praying a repeated prayer or a pattern, right? Which is sometimes a gift to us that the Lord taught us how to pray. It's not just praying before meal times or at appointed times. It's praying in a different way and a different level. It's praying in partnership with Jesus. And so when I'm in partnership with my wife, what it means is that every day she might actually want to do something a little bit different. I have a sense of what she wants all the time because I know her. I know her character. I've learned how she is and who she is. And so I have learned to work and walk with her. And there are some days she wants to do one thing and there's some days she wants to do another thing. But I have to be sensitive to her. Why? Because I'm in partnership with her. And so we have to know that same thing when it comes to the Holy Spirit and when it comes to our prayer life, that just repeating the same prayers over and over again is probably not being in partnership with the Holy Spirit. It might be a start. It might be a way for us to enter into that point of prayer. But then the Holy Spirit's going to speak to us about who we should pray for and what we should pray for and what it is that day that actually is on His heart. I mean, there's a lot of things that we know are on His heart all the time. He desires for you and your family and your household to know Him. He desires to see the work of the enemy pushed back and destroyed. He desires to see goodness flow into your life. That's always His general will, but we're also looking to pray for His specific will, right? And that's when the Lord whispers stuff to us. Those names of family members or people that we have come across. Have you ever had somebody come into your mind out of the clear blue? And you just go, why and how in the world? Why am I thinking about them? Oftentimes I have found that's the Holy Spirit speaking to me that there's actually something that He wants to do in that person's life. And maybe I need to pray for them. Maybe I need to call them. Maybe I need to write them a note. But it all begins with us being sensitive to waiting on the Holy Spirit. And this is a partnership. And so it means that we have to engage with Him. I think it's interesting that we usually wait for a feeling before we pray. But what we have to do, and what I believe Jude is telling us to do, is that we have to actually pray into that partnership. We pray into that experience of that place of hearing the Lord's voice. And it starts with us being sensitive to Him. So if we want to keep ourselves built up in our most holy faith, we have to pray more, right? We've got to make our life overflow with prayer. And I would just encourage you, that's not formal prayers all the time. That's not always, you know, the these and thous. That's just simply living a life thinking and speaking to Jesus. When I make coffee, sometimes what I'll do is I'll just sing a little song, or I'll pray a little prayer. I'll pray in my spiritual language or in my natural language, and I'll just begin to try to find that place of living with the Lord and allowing Him to guide my prayers, inviting Him into my life and asking Him what He wants to do. And that is where we have to continue to come back into this routine. Now, for those of you that want the gift of a prayer language, I'm going to pray for you at the end of this message as well. I want to encourage you to reach out for that, because that is part of this process, but it begins really with us reaching out to Jesus and asking Him, how do you want to pray, Lord? Now, the third part is that we're to keep ourselves in God's love. Jude says, keep yourself in God's love. Now, why would He tell us to keep ourselves in God's love? Well, it must mean that somehow we can move outside of God's love. And so the question is, how do we keep ourselves in God's love? Well, God's love is an amazing thing. Romans 8 and verses 38 and 39, it says this, that Paul is speaking about His love. He says, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, what Paul is saying here is that, listen, once you're in the love of Christ, then you're in the love of Christ. You can't get out of the love of Christ. This is a position that you now live in that is part of your inheritance of now walking in that relationship with Jesus Christ. Jude says that same thing in the very beginning of Jude in verse 1. He says, I'm speaking to people who are loved in the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, right? So when he says you are loved, and then now in the verse we just read, he says, keep yourselves in God's love. What does he mean? Is he saying like two different things? Well, the truth is it's both of those, right? God's love for you is a position that we stand in. God cannot love you any less or any more than he loves you right now. You are in his love. Every desire that he has for you is good. And when you're in relationship with him through the sacrifice of Jesus, then all good things are now directed towards you. So you are in a position of love. But God's love is also, have you noticed, God's love is also an experience, right? So someone can tell you, I love you, and you can know that they love you, but sometimes we don't feel loved, right? So the truth is that you can be in God's love, but you can also not be in God's love, right? You can be in a position of God's love, but not have the experience of his love. God loves you and nothing can change that. Romans 5:8 says this, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, God loved you even before you had a relationship with him, before you said yes to Jesus. He loved you no matter what. And so the fact of his love doesn't change, but sometimes the experience of his love changes. Have you ever seen a child refuse to be comforted by their parents? Right? That even happens with the youngest of children sometimes, that they just won't be comforted. They'll sometimes with an older toddler or even a teenager, right? They will cross their arms and they will simply say, no, I'm not ready to feel your love and acceptance. And I think sometimes that's what we do, is we take ourselves out of the experience of God's love, and then we kind of hold him at an arm's length and we say, no, I don't want to be comforted by you. I don't want to be loved by you. And we just need to remember what Jude is telling us. Hey, keep yourself in the love of God. Don't walk out of God's love. Now, there's some things that'll take you out of the experience of God's love. Disobedience will take you out of the love of God. Right? When Jesus tells us something, when the Holy Spirit whispers something to us and we disobey, then it puts us out of that love experience. Bitterness will take you out of the love of God, right? Because when you begin to embrace that feeling of hatred and discontent, that takes you out of the experience of God's love. Fear takes you out of the love of God. Complaining, in the Old Testament calls it grumbling, that takes us out of the love of God real fast, because all we can feel is how unhappy we are with what's going on in our life. Unwillingness to yield to the Holy Spirit, it'll take us out of the love of God. Now, the truth is that no one can take you out of the love of God but you, right? We have that decision of how we're going to live and how we're going to experience his love. And so we have to stay in his love. We have to stay in his love and receive his forgiveness and his grace when we're disobedient. We have to stay in his love when things go wrong in our life and we don't understand and we feel, gosh, this is just so not right. Everything in the world is so not right. We have to stay in his love when we feel anxious and fearful, when we hear what's on the news and we have perhaps eaten on some things that we shouldn't have eaten on, and we have to begin to push that away from us and get us back into his presence and into his love. How do you stay in God's love? You visit with him intentionally and regularly. You got to get in his presence. Do you know how to get in God's presence? Do you know how to create a space where you experience his love? Well, one of the things you have to do is you have to keep short accounts with him. You've been disobedient, you get right with him. You ask for forgiveness, you turn around, you go the other way. You deal with things quickly with other people, because if you're holding things against other people, it'll mess you up, right? Listen and obey quickly and get into his presence. Create that space where there's nothing between you and him, and allow him then to love on you. I would just say this, a quick idea of how to keep in God's love is shorten the time between that moment when he convicts you. He says, you need to do that. You need to forgive that person. You need to not do that thing. You need to not eat that. You need not to listen to that. Shorten the time between that voice that speaks to you and obedience to his voice. And you will find that his love is so much easier for us to experience. Remember, it's always available, but we take ourselves out. The fourth thing that Jude says after keep yourself in his love, he says, now wait. Wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Now, have you noticed that waiting is a part of life, right? Waiting is a part of our normal life, and it's a part of our spiritual life as well. And whenever we wait, we're hopefully expecting that something is going to happen, right? The reason for waiting is usually like up there. Otherwise, we wouldn't wait. We would say, forget this. There's an expectation at the end of waiting that something is going to happen. We're going to get something, or we're going to visit someone, whatever it might be. Now, there's a kind of waiting that is just passive waiting, right? We're just like, I just got to put up with this. At the doctor's office, I'm going to sit in the doctor's office and wait again. I'm in the line, right, at the store. I'm here. I am just waiting. It's just kind of a passive waiting. We're passing the time. But I think what Jude is describing here is a different kind of waiting. It's an active waiting. I remember as a kid waiting for my dad to get home. And I would anxiously look out the window, Mom, is it time yet? And I would look down the street and see if I could see his car. And when I saw his car, then I would run and hide underneath the dresser and wait for that door to open. I would be anxiously awaiting his arrival. And that's the way that we need to wait here. We're waiting with expectation that there is mercy that's coming from heaven, and his mercy is the only way we're going to get there. The only way we're going to get into eternity is by his goodness, by his mercy, and by his grace. And so we simply wait with expectation. We look out the window and say, God, what good stuff are you going to do today? All right, here's those four points right there. Very simple. Our routine, the thing that we need to prepare ourselves in, is something that we need to do every day. Build up our inner man. How often are you building up your inner man? How often are you praying in the Holy Spirit? How often are you keeping yourself in God's love? How often are you looking out the window to see if Dad's coming home? Every day throughout the day, we should keep coming back to these things. Keep speaking to ourselves who God is, his love for us, his greatness. Keep asking him, what do you want to pray about today, Lord? How do you want to partner together today? What do you want to do today? We have to keep ourselves there. Lord, what are you speaking to me? How can I stay in your love? See, sometimes we have fed on other things. We've turned the media on too much. We've listened to social media too much. We've listened to our friends too much. We've listened to our inner counselor, maybe the inner critic, too much. It's pulled us right out of that place of the Spirit, right out of that place of God's love. And no, let's keep ourselves. Let's get back into the routine of waiting and expecting that actually he's doing something beautiful and he's doing something good. If we do these things, and it's not just one time, it's not just two times, we're going to have to build a life that continues to go back to these essentials and these basics. If we do these things, then we'll be ready for whatever comes. The next disaster, the next calamity, the next pandemic, the next whatever, we will be prepared. Why? Because we know how to build ourselves up. We know how to pray in the Holy Spirit. We know how to keep ourselves in God's love. We know how to wait with eager expectation for the good things that he's going to do. Now, I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to end our time together. But I also want to pray for those today who really desire that experience of that gift of the Holy Spirit of speaking in a prayer language, speaking in tongues. And so I'm going to pray in conclusion, but I'm also going to pray for you in particular. And I want to encourage you to reach out. If that's in your heart, if that's something you want to receive from the Lord, that's available to you. And it begins with asking, but then it begins with actually you moving your tongue and actually praying and allowing him to pray through you. Lord Jesus, I thank you that today you have given us everything that we need. I thank you for Jude, for this man who now 2,000 years ago, he wrote a letter to the church, and it's almost as if he wrote it right now today in this moment that we're living. And we're hearing his words of encouragement, and we're reminded of the routine, of the essential routine that we have to have as followers of Jesus. And Lord, I just pray that you would put this deep into our hearts, that you would remind us to keep coming back to that place of building ourselves up, of praying in the Holy Spirit, of allowing you, Lord, to love on us rather than separating ourselves from you, and waiting, Lord, for eager expectation. And I pray today, God, that you would plant that deeply in our hearts, and that you would draw us, that, Lord, those moments when we feel isolated, those moments we feel distant from others and from you, that we would go back right into that pocket, right into the cleft of the rock, right into that solid place that you always provide for us, and that you would love on us. Lord, I pray today for those who are desiring a deeper experience of your Spirit. They're even asking today for the gift of speaking in tongues, Lord, that gift that you say is available to us in 1 Corinthians. And I just pray, Lord, right now that you would visit and meet people right where they're at, even as they're reaching out to you in faith, that you would supernaturally touch and release a new kind of prayer language, release a new kind of prayer expression in their hearts. It might be a song, it might be an utterance, it might be something that they are even surprised would come out of their mouth, but Lord, that you would speak through us, each and every one of us, that we would be able to pray according to your Spirit. Lord, open up our eyes and ears spiritually to you, that we wouldn't miss what you're doing in this season. Prepare us to be of use for your kingdom. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the message, and we hope to see you on a Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. Visit us online at kchamford.com, and if you want to support our ministry, click Give. Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.